Welcome to Slug's bi-weekly Slug Soundwaves podcast. Here, in our print mag and on slugmag.com, enjoy our curated content that highlights the best of Utah's alternative and underrepresented music, arts, events, and community subcultures. If Slug has benefited you or someone you love, consider contributing to sustain our existence. Head to slugmag.com/donate to join our community of donors.
KRCL was founded in 1979 to bring a more diverse voice to Salt Lake City and surrounding areas. KRCL is community funded and supported, which allows diverse commercial free programming that varies from indie to hip hop, blues to bluegrass, metal, punk, indigenous, and bilingual programs. Every weekday at 6 p.m., KRCL's Radioactive brings you grassroots activism and civic engagement with punk rock farming and live local music on Fridays. Tune in to KRCL at 90.9 FM. Stream at krcl.org or download the app on the App Store.
Shh! Are you listening? This is Slug Soundwaves.
I've got at least a dozen friends I'd like to call them close.
I'm Tanner Padbury, and I do vocals and guitar for Melancholy Club.
I'm Noah Shelton. I play bass, and I do some vocals for Melancholy Club.
I'm Zane Dees. I play drums for the band.
I'm Rex. I play guitar.
Yeah, Melancholy Club has changed a little bit over the years. If I had to describe us now, I'd say, you know, it's emo or Midwest emo, punk rock. It's music that's emotional and fun and loud, and it has a range that gets from heavy to soft. I don't know. You know, it's I feel like we have a lot of dynamic range, but I think that emotional and heavy is probably the best descriptor I could think of. I don't know. You guys have a different answer?
It's kind of your baby for most of the time, and I think the new music's going is pretty Midwest. Like, I mean, I've heard the term scrams before. I feel like we're bordering that a little bit. A lot of our older stuff was more traditional emo, but we're getting a lot more experimental, I think, into that scene. That's probably what I would say. But
I think the new album has a lot of different, it's pulling from a lot of different influences. It's each track, I feel like, is very different from the previous, and I think that's just because we all like generally the same genres of music, but we all pull in from slightly different influences, and I think that's very present in, mm-hmm. in the tracks, because there's some that are a little more Midwest emo-y, some that are just really just traditionally punk, and a little bit for everyone.
It's just a little bit for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit for everybody.
It's a little bit for everybody. That's how we describe our sound to somebody who's never heard us.
This one feels pathetic. Here it goes anyway.
Dude, I came to when I moved to Utah, I wanted to make, like, blues rock and roll. Like, that's what I was doing. But I had started listening to a lot of Sorority Noise and Joyce Manor and Law Dispute back home in Oregon. And because I had some friends who were really into that. And I had kind of forgotten I liked emo music. Like, I liked a lot of pop punk when I was growing up, like, from grade school, middle school. And so when I met some other people who really liked that too, and it just felt very natural going back to my roots, I think. Like, started learning to scream on tracks because we thought it sounded cool, and then everything just started being more emo and punk-centric after that. It was weird. I thought I was going to be in, like, a Led Zeppelin type band when I first started playing music. And then I just don't think I have the I don't think I really have that in me, apparently. Apparently, I have sad boy shit to do. So
one of my best friends in high school took me, well, it was like right after we graduated, he had free tickets to go see a couple bands that I had never heard of, and it was Joyce Manor. And I went to the show and I was like, this is bullshit. I was like, this is some Blink 182 ass. I don't know what this is. And then I went away on a trip for, you know, a couple years. The Utah boy trip. Oh, I wonder what it could be. And then I came home and I bought a car that had a bunch of CDs in it. And Joyce Manor self-titled was in the car. And I put it on and I was like, dude, I've seen this band and I hated it. And now I love it. So
that's cool.
I saw them open for Modern Baseball.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Dude, that was another one. People introduced me to them earlier on and I was like, lame.
Yeah, I think because when I was in high school, I was like, I don't know, I was probably insufferable when it came to music. I would listen to just like a bunch of like indie pop electronic stuff. Like that was my whole thing. And then my friend showed me Tiger's Jaw and I was like, what the hell? Like these are the weirdest vocals I've ever heard. Like it just sonically didn't make sense, but I was just obsessed with it. And then it just went down this rabbit hole of kind of the same thing where it was definitely an acquired taste. And then on my 2-year trip,
what was it? What could it be?
I don't know. I found Algernon on YouTube, and then like The Exploration, just a bunch of really like, I don't know, revival bands. And then it just kind of consumed me. And I also like really wanted to make music and I can't sing that well. So that was another reason why I was so attracted to it. 'Cause I was like, I can do this.
Yeah. Dog, that's true. Bright Eyes did that to me. Mm-hmm. I heard Bright Eyes, heard Connor Oberst. I was like, whoa. Like he's a great, I think he's a great singer, but yeah, I was just like
that quivering.
Yeah, it just seemed attainable. Voice. Like I was like, I could maybe do that. And then hearing all of the people we love and like in the scene, it's like punk music and it's very, I don't want to say that punk music or emo music is easy because there's a lot that's hard about it. A lot of technical guitar and really technical drums too. And screaming's not easy, but it just, like getting singing lessons or and like that kind of training can be kind of expensive. And so like learning to do stuff from your friends or from music you like is like emo music in general and it's punk.
Organic.
Yeah, it feels really organic to do. Yeah, thank
and
you.
And it's almost like the more unconventional the vocal style is in this genre of music makes it more appealing.
I joined the Melancholy Club project almost exactly a year ago, and
he's looking at his watch.
Yeah, because I'm looking at the date.
You got the date on there?
Fuck yeah, I got the date on there.
That watch is sick as hell.
It's a Casio.
That's awesome.
Can we rename ourselves the Melancholy Club?
Can I tell my story?
Yeah.
God forbid. No, it's okay. You can keep talking. That wasn't like I wasn't bad, but like
what's your watch?
Why are you giving me shit for my watch?
No, we like it.
I just never seen someone check their watch and go, it was 1 year ago.
He's like, yeah, I gotta look at the date, bro. I go, all right. Well, about a year ago. Yeah.
We're done.
I've been playing the drums since I was 9. And I hadn't really had a direction to go with it. I've done like high school bands, stuff like that, but it was all kind of just like, I don't know, indie. I mean, indie is independent, right? I mean, I feel like indie means so many different things now, but I originally had a band called Suppertime. I was a founding member. And I love those guys. Haven't seen them in a while, but I hope they're doing well. Shout out Suppertime.
Love you, Suppertime.
Love you, Suppertime. We were making indie jazz, pseudo jazz synth pop shit. And I was really, really vibing with that creatively. We had some creative differences, so I kind of stopped doing that project. But I played a show with Melancholy Club with Suppertime. And then they needed a drummer, Melancholy Club did. And that was just when I had left the band. And so I just tried out. And I hadn't really been into the scene really at all. I respected hardcore, but I didn't vibe to it. I didn't listen to it. My little brother Maximus, actually, he knows way more than me. And he was showing me bands like Versus Self and Oakwood and a little more. I'm trying to remember. He has so many. He can give you the whole first wave, third wave, whatever breakdown. He's so invested, and I feel kind of ignorant.
He knows more than I do for sure.
Yeah, being in the scene, and he he knows a lot. And I was oh, this is cool, but I don't know. And it wasn't until 2021, I think, a lot of similarly people my age, I listened to Glow On by Turnstiles Glow On, and I was okay, this changed the way I view hardcore. And then it opened up the door to listen to a lot more. I fucking love Versus Self. I listen to them all the time. New Mirrors is awesome. I fucking love New Mirrors. But I didn't really do any of that until even a few months ago. It was pretty, but being in the scene and playing with the band, it's been really cool. So that's how I've gotten into it, and we just kind of have gone with the direction as we've played. So
songs that are riffs and lyrics that I had cooked for a while. There are songs that is riffs that Rex cooked for a while. There's some that we made, Noah and I just started playing in a room one day that turned into a song. And then there's some that are from Zane's brain that Zane was I think it'd be cool if we made a song like this, and we tried to make it, and we did. And I think starting with a riff is pretty common, and having lyrics. A lot of times I backlog lyrics. I write some shit and put it away, and then I'll be this will work in this riff later on. So, but it's a mixture for sure. All of the above.
Yeah, I think everyone else has a lot of that, kind of a stock of things. I can't really articulate myself as well outside of the kit. Which is common theme, I think, with a lot of drummers. I'm working on it. But yeah, there's one song that I was I woke up and I was hearing it, and I fucking was humming bass lines and shit into my voice. I have six different voice memos, and then I went to him and I was hey, can you articulate this on the guitar for me on an acoustic? And then he did very well. It was super cool that he can just do that. And then we turn that into something, but a lot of the time there's Rex brings great riffs to the table, and it's so awesome.
I like to riff.
Yeah, Rex riffs.
Rex riffs.
Well, I think it helps that all of us have, our own other projects that we work on too. I have a project that I do. Noah has a couple projects that he does. So we're all very, I would say, creative, especially when it comes to the music that we're making. And we all have our own distinct sounds, and where it fits in Melancholy Club, we try to make it work for Melancholy Club. So,
yeah, I'm trying to be. I feel in other iterations, there were other people who brought ideas, and then, it slowed down, and so it became more of more of the riffs and ideas had to come from me at some point. And then I'm really glad it's, turned into a thing that more people are offering up ideas.
That's also hard, though, because sometimes we have ideas that we try and they don't fit, or we try and some of us think they fit, but the person who brings the idea is like, oh, now it's not sounding the way it did in my head. It's like, dude, it's sharing ideas can be scary, and it can, sometimes they don't land, and sometimes they don't land right away, and then they turn into something that actually lands better than the rest, so. And a lot of sharing, vulnerability, patience.
Kisses.
No, Yeah.
There is, yeah.
Sometimes.
There are sometimes kisses in Melancholy Club. Yeah, three singles have come out for it, Crash, Echo, and Pull, for an album that's called Thank God For You. And it's Christian. Just kidding.
Melon Christian.
No, it's, I think, and you guys can say more too, but the idea behind the name of it is that most of the songs are about harder times in our lives, and I guess the sadder moments that can be hard to talk about and scary to talk about, and being able to be in a band and be able to play shows has always been a dream, I think, of all of ours, and we get to live it, and so, you know, it's like I hope it's a gift back to the people who listen to us and come to see us play, because I mean, really, thank God for them for being there to listen to us, and for the people who have been there for us and anybody. It's really a thank you to the people who have helped me through really tough times and helped all of us, I think.
Yeah, that's factual. Yeah. No, I think even to expand more on that, it's like, we're just happy for the space that like being in the band and playing live shows in particular provides. Right. And I think also it's like, yeah, you know, dealing with loss and like having the people around or the environments that that creates to, you know, support in those moments. Right. I mean, it's pretty sacred, you know, or even just the scene itself. Like, I think that's the best thing that I've come to appreciate about being in this project is just creating that space, like having a live venue that you can always go to and consistently people show up to just like be themselves. You know, I think that's kind of derivative of like what punk is even about, you know? And that's just like so awesome. Like, even that alone is, like, I feel like made it, you know, just to have that. It's, like, peak.
So. I feel like the culture that we live in Utah can be kind of unforgiving to people that, like, we consider really good friends. We consider part of the Melancholy Club, I guess you could say, as silly as that is, right? And to be able to provide a space for those people that don't feel as safe in Utah as they possibly could is, it's a blessing in itself that we're able to do that. And, you know, when it comes down to thank God for you, right? Like, it is really cool that there are people that feel safe around us. And I don't know, I just love being able to create for people that appreciate what this, I call it a counterculture, but what we're trying to create is just a good environment for people that need it.
I've gathered
out because it'll be 3 weeks, you know, for...
You don't want to tease shoot?
Well, it's not a tease. It's the whole thing.
Well, no, we could just start it. Up to you.
Or we could just play the whole thing.
Yeah, we'll just do 40.
But we don't have the...
I think...
What's a good outro interview song?
I think...
Pistols. Or Parasite.
I think maybe Crash be, I mean,
I feel like Echo. I fuck with Echo.
Yeah, I want to.
Echo's my favorite.
I think Crash because it's a little more upbeat.
Yeah, you know. And also, the people have spoken.
I voted for
Crash. I voted for Echo.
Damn. Can we do that?
Let's throw
Crash on there. It's our first single that we put out for the album.
You're about to hear Crash by Melancholy Club. Please enjoy.
You can find us on, yeah, we're on everything. We
not Reddit.
We're on,
we're
oh,
not
we
on
are on Reddit.
We're not on SoundCloud. You can find us on
Not, yeah, shit. Here's where we are. We're on Spotify, Apple Music, Bandcamp. Dude, we are actually on Roblox, if you believe it or not.
No joke.
We are on Roblox. YouTube Music, yeah, so there's free places, YouTube and Bandcamp. And then if you have a streaming, any of those.
Instagram, Melancholy. .club.slc. Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's our Instagram.
There's two dots in there.
Yep.
Follow us on Kick.
Song kick?
No, K-I-K. K-I-K.
Oh,
K-I-K. What's your kick?
Yeah, well, my...
What's your kick?
Kickstarter?
No.
As far as shows, the all I can say right now, well, actually, I can talk about two. We're playing an opening set at Kilby Block Party on May 16th. It's the Friday. So
May 17th, I thought.
Nope, it's May 16th.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
You got to get there. You got to get there right at the top of the day because doors open 11:30. We play at 11:45.
Yeah, so there's going to be a lot of people there, obviously.
so that'll be a blast. And then we have a show in June with Michael Sarah Palin and Aren't We Amphibians at Kilby Court, June 21st.
If you enjoyed this episode of Soundwaves, please take 60 seconds to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.
This episode was produced and edited by me, Nate McQuivy, coordinated by William Hughes, and promoted by the Slug Magazine editorial staff. Be sure to check out this month's issue of Slug. You can find a copy anyplace cool or at slugmag.com.
Did you enjoy this episode of Slug Soundwaves? You and the local community can continue to enjoy Slug Mag's content for free, but please consider making a one-time or ongoing contribution. Each contribution, no matter the amount, helps support Slug's creation of thoughtful media coverage on SLC's music, arts, events, and community subcultures. Head over to slugmag.com/donate to make your contribution today.